Our scripture comes from Haggai, chapter 1, verse 15 through chapter 2, verse 9. It's a really hard hard book to find because it's really, really small. So if you need help, if you're looking in your pew Bible, it's on page 878. In the second year of King Darius, in the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai, saying, "Speak now to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, and say, who is left among you that saw this house in its former glory? And how does it look to you now? Is it not in your sight as nothing? Yet now take courage, O Zerubbabel, says the Lord. Take courage, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Take courage, all of you people of the land, says the Lord. Work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts, according to the promise that I made with you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit abides among you. Do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once again in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all the nations, so that the treasure of all the nations shall come, and I will fill this house with splendor, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The latter splendor of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give prosperity, says the Lord of hosts." These are our sacred stories. Joel Osteen writes in Your Best Life Now, "Start calling yourself healed, happy, blessed, and prosperous. Stop talking to God about how big your mountains are and start talking to your mountains. Start declaring, everything I touch prospers and succeeds. Friend, there's a miracle in your mouth." He's certainly not alone in preaching what is often referred to as the prosperity gospel. Its basic tenet is that God's will is that every Christian be wealthy and healthy. Prominent leaders in the prosperity gospel include E.W. Kenyon, Creflo Dollar, Kenneth Copeland, Benny Hinn, Paula White, Joel Osteen. Listen to the names of some of their books. God's Will is Prosperity, Your Key to God's Bank, Power to Get Wealth, The Laws of Prosperity, How to Have More in a Have-Not World, God's Master Key to Success and Prosperity. How many Christians have been duped into believing that their cancer or poverty or depression were caused by their lack of faith? How many have given away their rent or their mortgage for the promises of wealth that only seem to come to the preacher? The thing is, Jesus was a poor man. Most of the disciples were poor. Peter couldn't even afford to pay his taxes. But it's also true that Lydia was rich, Abraham, Joseph. There are examples of faithful people in the Bible who were poor and faithful people in the Bible who were rich. Health and wealth are not signs of God's blessing, and poverty and sickness are not signs of God's punishment. Many passages are taken out of context from our sacred stories to support the prosperity gospel, and Haggai is a prominent one among them. It's used as proof that God wants to give us wealth. Listen again. The latter splendor of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give prosperity, says the Lord of hosts. Only the thing is that the word translated as prosperity is the word shalom. Now, if it's only your second week at Covenant, and last week was your first week, please note I do not talk about a Hebrew word or a Greek word every Sunday. And because of the way this passage has been abused by prosperity preachers, I feel I must set the record straight. God promises shalom. Shalom can mean wholeness, completeness. There is one case in Job where it seems to mean something like prosperity, but even there, complete or whole would be better renderings. Of course, the most popular translation of shalom is what? Peace. Once again, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake the nations, so that the treasure of all the nations shall come, and I will fill this house with splendor, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The latter splendor of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts, and in this place I will give shalom, peace, says the Lord of hosts. Money is involved. Resources are involved. Building a temple is not cheap, how well we know. But the wealth belongs to God. The silver is God's and the gold is God's. It's God's house. And more than that, the wealth is not the point. God promises to bring shalom, a promise made to a traumatized people. God promises peace and wholeness to those who still have nightmares every night. Peace and comfort to those for whom each day is a struggle. God is not promising to make them or us healthy and wealthy. This is not the prosperity gospel. This is the peace gospel. And we need the peace gospel these days. I need it. Haggai is talking to the remnant, the leftovers, the people who survived, the remnant who finally returned from captivity. They've been back 18 years when Haggai began to prophesy among them. In their first year back, they prepared the foundation of the temple, and then they didn't touch it for 17 years. Before this morning's reading, we find these words at the beginning of Haggai. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai, saying, is it time for you yourselves to live in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider how you have fared. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And you that earn wages to put them in bags with holes. Their exile in Babylon is over. They're back home in Jerusalem. They're together, and their city is destroyed, and their temple is in ruins, and the crops are failing. And there's not enough of anything. And they despair of the future. They despair of rebuilding the temple, the city, their lives. They know firsthand that war can come, that you can be removed from your home and taken away. They've worked and worked to create stability, and it has never been enough. And with all this worry and fear, they leave the temple in ruins, with only a foundation as an effort to rebuild, nothing more. The temple, the earthly home of God, was a constant symbol of the destruction and the disruption of their lives, their hopes, their future. It wasn't just a building. It was their return home. It was all they had lost. It was their fear of the future. The older Israelites remembered the previous temple, the work of their ancestors, the beauty, the majesty. How do you rebuild when you remember what was lost? How do you rebuild with fewer resources? Three times the voice of God says, take courage. Take courage. Take courage. Yes, you're afraid and you have every reason to be. Take courage. I cannot promise that nothing bad will happen, and I can promise that I will be with you. The voice of God reminds the people that God was with them when they left Egypt. God was with them in exile. God was with them in their return home. And now, God is with them in their anxiety and their fear and their work. God says, my spirit abides among you. Do not fear. Take courage, take courage, take courage, do the work. And the people hear, and they work, and they work. The anxiety and the fear did not leave them completely, and they were able to work in it, with it, through it. They were able to breathe deep the presence of God and do what needed to be done. Oh, how we know what it is to live in fear. We know what it is to know well and personally that everything can be taken away in a moment, in a storm, in a phone call. We know that floods sweep away houses and people, that fires burn uncontrollably, that the earth shakes, that illness comes like a thief in the night. We know that people die and that pain is very real. We know this and we live it. We are not just returning from exile, but we know the anxiety of feeling incomplete, of feeling we cannot catch our breath, of feeling our foundations have been shaken and the future is not certain. We know what it is to sow much and harvest little, to eat but never have enough, to drink but never have our fill. We know what it is to always long for something more, to believe that the fear will go away if we can just protect ourselves enough, consume enough, prepare enough, worry enough. We know what it is to wonder where God is with so much devastation in the world. And so hear these words. Take courage. Says the Lord, take courage, all you people of the land, and work, for God is with you. God says, my spirit abides among you, do not fear. To do the work, the people needed courage. They needed to believe in possibilities in the future. They needed hope. Hope takes courage. In times of despair, in times of rebuilding, in times of loss, it takes courage to work for a future that's hard to imagine. It takes courage to work for a realm of peace and justice when violence and injustice mark each day. The remnant, the ones who survived the Babylonian army's invasion, who survived the forced exile to another land, who survived the return, they understand violence. They understand the fragility of life. They understand that so little is certain. And they find the courage to hope. They find the courage to hope. They find the courage to work for peace. They had to move in and with their anxiety and fear and disappointment. They had to begin seeing each other, to begin caring again. They needed courage to connect with each other, to work together, to love again, knowing so well as they did that everything can change, a truth we know as well. And so, take courage. Take courage, do the work, see each other, care, love. Start where you are. Everything you do, no matter how small or humble or seemingly insignificant, is part of the work. The work for the realm of God's peace. And so take courage. Do not be afraid. God is with you. Do the work. Hope for shalom. Amen.